3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, friends. Oh, yeah, let's go.
It's a great day, you guys.
It is a great day because it's game day. It's the finale of the series between the Cardinals and the Cubs. We're going to go to the ball game today. We're going to the ball game today.
We're going to the ball game today. Guys, the sheriff didn't step down. I know we're getting to the top.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
There's just so much we want to tell you about
today. 314, and there's a lot you could tell us about. 314-436-7900, but don't. Give us very limited information and only the information we ask for. 314-436-7900. That's the call, text, all that stuff. Watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. If you're on Twitter, we are at Chris Amy KMOX, and if you go there, you'll see our faces. Like, hey, hello, everyone. You go do that. And on the Odyssey app, we want you to listen in and also leave us a voice message if you have something to say.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, Sheriff Montgomery here in St. Louis, he said no.
He's not stepping down.
I'm not leaving. I'm not blanking leaving. He did not leave office, even though the Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, said he had to by noon yesterday. That deadline is passed. We are going to talk to AG Bailey today.
I think maybe he
at 9:30.
Thought the Attorney General wasn't treating him with respect.
Most likely not.
And Walgreens. Ever heard of it? Maria Kina really could discovered this investigation into Walgreens, the pharmacy. They're closing at random hours. Asked the people, are you having issues with Walgreens?
Hundreds of people.
Hundreds of people's responded to her, so we want to hear from you.
And the Cardinals, they do lose the game yesterday. It was all Cubs in game 3 of 4. But tonight, an opportunity to take 3 of 4. Also, City SC did not go well at City Park.
You know what,
Energizer
though?
Park.
What's the silver lining?
There was no tie.
That's right.
For you.
That's right. There's no tie.
See, this, I don't know. I'm looking at that score, and I think that is far worse than tying, because you don't get a point for that.
Well, you are not very American.
I want points to get to the playoffs, to make a run.
Well, listen.
I was promised playoffs before the year started. I want playoffs.
I'm going down with this ship. It's too late for me now.
Speaking of going down with a ship, Alfred Montgomery, who was the sheriff here in St. Louis. So the deadline passed. He decided he wasn't going to. In fact, he was defiant yesterday, saying he's not going to leave, despite the fact the attorney general has said he needs to. And that we have gone over a lot of the stuff that he has did out of just complete absurdity, which is why we...
Let's name a couple. Rolling a pair of golden dice to see if a deputy could keep his job or not.
Yes.
What did he have to roll? A 14 or
something? I don't remember what the number was.
He had to roll a number to see if he could keep his job. That was one. Asking the Board of Aldermen for thousands of dollars to buy golf carts. And when the Board of Aldermen said, I don't think so, he said, well, I'm sorry, I already bought them.
Mm-hmm.
Badges, $28,000 in new badges.
Mm-hmm.
A new SUV, $50,000+ for a new SUV. Now, mind you, his job is to escort detainees and prisoners across the street from the courthouse to the jail. And also, he was sending deputies, taxpayer-paid deputies, to pick his own kids up from school.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a few things.
So, this is a story that to me is, it's just amusing. And I have said, I've started the Save Our Sheriff campaign because I don't want this guy to go anywhere. I think he's fantastic.
You love a little chaos.
This is unbelievable. The problem with him, and you know, if you're looking at this honestly,
the problem is
he is spending money that they don't really have.
Yeah.
And even the alder people are like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
You know, what is going on here? So, actually removing him from office, I think, is I don't know about this step. So right now, Andrew Bailey is my nemesis because I want Alfred Montgomery to be there for as long as he wants the job. I love the entertainment of it.
And I don't think we talked about this, Ronj, so I'm going to see if this changes your mind. In Andrew Bailey's motion to expel Sheriff Alfred Montgomery, there was a problem that Sheriff Montgomery was not doing his, like, one job. He's not a law enforcement guy. He literally transports supervises inmates.
And a gun.
To the hospital.
That's law enforcement.
That's law enforcement. And to the court. So he was failing. He failed to transport inmates to do his job. But in one specific case, he didn't supervise this inmate or transport him to medical treatment. This was on June 20th. This was just a week ago. And that was because Sheriff Alfred Montgomery went skydiving instead. And we know he went skydiving because while people were looking for him to transport this prisoner for critical medical treatment, he posted on TikTok a video of himself skydiving.
Look, I'm not mad about this because a skydiving trip is once. You go skydiving one time. And then you go right back to the office when it's over. It's not like, say, taking nursing classes at night. It's a little different than that, which is more time consuming.
We don't know that he is not taking skydiving classes. Maybe he's going to become an instructor.
Maybe he's
going to
become a Golden Knight.
Maybe.
He's going to join the Army Golden Knights and jump out of airplanes. I think he can look, you can do anything you put your mind to. That's what you tell your kids, mm-hmm. right, when they grow up. Do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. You just have to apply yourself. Yeah. Well, I see a sheriff mm-hmm. who is applying himself to many, many different things.
Well, I appreciate your support.
And applying for
him.
Financing of a new SUV.
Yes. But I will say you can't be anything you want to be. I think we should encourage kids to work hard, but LeBron James could not be a jockey in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, he's just too big for the horses.
When he was a kid, what if he's like, Mom, all I want to be is a jockey in the Kentucky Derby?
He could be a jockey on a Clydesdale.
I don't think they do jockeys on Clydesdales.
Actually, I'm trying to picture Shaq on a Clydesdale.
I think the Clydesdale might be like, listen, this is a little bit much.
That's probably
a
little too much.
It's a little too
Clydesdales
much.
Are huge and strong.
But so is Shaq.
But Shaq is big. Like, are we talking... Yeah. Are we talking 2000 Shaq or 2025 Shaq?
Any Shaq.
Because he's a big boy now.
And so, I want to see Shaq on a Shetland pony.
Oh, come on. That would kill the pony.
Kill the pony. PETA is knocking on the door already.
You know what? You should actually, do you do the AI image?
I could.
Yeah, you should get us an AI image of Shaq on a Clydesdale. No.
But I think absolutely you should encourage people to work hard to pursue their passions. I think you shouldn't blow smoke. I think my parents... you know, when I wanted to be in the NFL, they didn't say, no, you can't.
They just didn't want to be in the NFL.
Yeah. When I was 10, 11, 12, I wanted to be in the NFL. And then I switched to hockey when Wayne mm-hmm. Gretzky came to town. But I would practice and I would tell them, like, I want to.
What did you think? Let me ask you a
quarterback.
Question. Quarterback of what?
The team.
What team?
Well, it was the Rams, but it was the Packers and then the Rams because we didn't have the Rams.
Amy,
yet.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
You are a good athlete. Mm-hmm. You can run far, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Without tiring out.
I can throw a spiral. I'm pretty good. But I could outthrow the boys before they hit puberty.
You are so frail.
I know. Here's the thing.
If you got tackled by a defensive end, you would die the first time.
I would die before I hit the ground. Mm-hmm. I would die midair. But here's the thing. And this I always love. This is why I think I pursued so many things. I wanted to be a jockey. I wanted to be in the Olympics. I wanted to be in the NFL. I wanted to be a detective. I wanted to do all of these things. And what they would tell me when I said, I want to be a quarterback in the NFL, again, 10, 11, 12, they didn't say, girls aren't in the NFL. And they didn't say, you are going to be the first woman in the NFL and made a big deal about it. They never made a big deal about anything. They just said, okay, well, you better practice. You better practice. Yeah. So then as I practiced, and then I stopped growing at the age of 12 and a half, and I weighed like 92 pounds, I remember the day I was in the yard going, I don't think I'm big enough to be in the NFL. It had nothing to do with being a girl, which I said, I credit my parents, because they never put it in my head that I would be doing anything spectacular by being in the NFL.
Always, always when you get the opportunity, tell your kids they're not as special as they think they are.
They just said, you better practice. And my dad said, I don't think you're big. You know, I said, I don't think I'm big enough. And my dad said, well, you're probably right. You know, you would have to put on at least 200 pounds.
Well, you know what my dream job was? I think I've told you a number of times.
It was to be a park ranger.
No, that's if I get fired from this job.
To be a Christmas tree.
No, I've always wanted to be an activist judge. So when
that's right. I forgot.
When we come back, we have to tell you something about us. We are breaking the rule, already. We have our Twitter poll, which is at Chris Amy KMOX, our question of the week, and you need to go back and find it. we have a development that's happened today. We'll tell you about it when we come back on KMOX.
Well, we've got the evidence up on the Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
So we started this week with a question. We always do question of the week at Chris Amy KMOX.
On Tuesdays, we do our question of the week.
And it was, should men wear shorts outside of athletic activities? And this is all because people like Tom Ford said that men should never wear shorts.
I am accepting the results of this poll under protest because I think there should have been three options. Yes, no. Yes, but not in professional settings.
Yeah.
I was at Caldi's this morning. Someone came up to me and asked me, hey, I need to know what are the results on your poll with the shorts.
Yeah.
Literally had someone, because they want to know. It's important.
Everybody wants to know.
These are important questions that we're asking. And I said it was overwhelmingly something. And their response was that they thought the answer should be, yes, men can wear shorts, but not in professional settings. And I said, I know, but we really blew it with the poll.
Well, guess who blew it today? Because I am wearing shorts, and I've worn them to work.
Guys.
And here we are.
The first thing he did is he walked in this room with his shiny white gams.
With these sticks.
Ugh. And he threw them in our faces. He held up his legs so that his calves and his knees were way too close to us.
Yeah.
He wanted us to see his gams.
So I used to wear shorts to work regularly because it's comfortable. I want to be comfortable.
It's weird. It's exposed.
This is the only place I wear pants all the time. This is the only job I've had, except for like when I was a waiter. This is the only job I've had where I've
worn pants.
Actually, even then, I think we wore shorts. But I wear pants all the time now.
I have always worn pants. When I worked at the running store, we were allowed eventually to wear running shorts because you got to wear the product, right?
Yeah.
So we wore running shorts. But, I mean, teaching, when I was broadcasting with the Blues, with this job. I mean, my goodness, when I was with Charlie Brennan years ago, I had not just pants, but a blazer every day.
Yeah, so you're really
a complete bum now.
Things have changed. I think we should just be happy that we're all in the same office and not working from home. You know what I mean?
Let's
small victories here.
If you're going to keep wearing shorts, you should stay at home.
Well, here's why I'm wearing shorts today. We're going to the baseball game.
We are.
It is 135 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're going to be indoors. But still,
we'll be outdoors for a little bit.
We're going to be outdoors for a little bit. It is kind of gross out there. I'm not wearing pants to a baseball game. So and the game is this afternoon, by the way. 12:20 is the pregame show today, and 1:15 first pitch Cardinals Cubs. So it's an afternoon game today. You think I'm going to go to that game wearing jeans? You're out of your mind.
Out of your mind. I know. Here's the thing too. I'm moving, Ronj.
Me too.
I was planning, and so is Matt. We're all moving in together. We are committed to the show. But I'm moving, and the big move is tonight, like after the ball game. That's when the big movers are coming.
Yeah.
And I've been moving little things that I can, like I can move my clothes. And what happened is I moved all my pants to the house.
Okay.
But I'm still in my apartment. So when I woke up this morning, thankful that in a little laundry basket, clean laundry, because I'd just done a load of laundry. I had clean underwear, so that was fortunate. But I had no pants. There are no pants in my house, in my apartment. And so I have on shorts as well. Although I will say this was a perfect day to only have shorts because I think I would have sweated through any trouser that I tried to wear. And it would have been an oh, honey moment.
So why are we so insistent upon people wearing pants in a professional setting? Is it because legs are gross? Is that why? Because I think the argument of feet being disgusting are absolutely
men
valid.
Unless a man is on a beach, he should never have his toes out.
I don't want to see your toes.
No.
Ever.
Especially men. Like, because women, sometimes when they dress up nice, right? You can have nice heels, like an open toe heel. And that looks very professional still. I never show my toes at work. I don't think you should ever show your toes.
I don't want to see your toes at a street fest.
I don't
want to see your toes ever.
I would feel offended and harassed if you showed up with your toes out.
What's wrong with shorts at work?
It's unprofessional.
Why is it unprofessional?
I don't know. I don't want to see guys' legs.
Why? What's wrong with dudes' legs?
I think a lot of guys are bow-legged.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Ride horses? No.
I can say this. People go, that's rude, Amy. No, it's not. You know why? I'm bow-legged. I have really stupid bow legs. I don't know why. I think it's genetic.
Would you rather have bow legs or knock knees? Aren't they the ones that are close together and then you're...
Yeah.
You don't want that.
I don't want knock knees, but I do have bow legs. But I'm pigeon-toed. I'm a real catch.
you really are. Although I've heard that a lot of athletes, that's what their legs are like.
It is, and to be honest, because like I've gone to
the pigeon toe, you're closer to pigeon toe than like the
other
way.
You never see like where the toes point out. Mm-hmm. In like elite athletes, very rarely do they run or walk with their toes pointed out, like flailing out. A lot of times, if you're going to err on the side, it'll be in pointing inward, which again, I've had PTs and doctors tell me like, hey, it's really not uncommon for a lot of runners to have that kind of bow leg pigeon toe shape. Mine's just very pronounced.
I know a couple of professional athletes who have the toes pointed out thing.
That's rare.
It's very, yeah, it's super rare. Baseball.
Oh, yeah. You don't really have to be that athletic.
Whoa. What did you just say?
David Wells.
Perfect game. He was hung over too.
That guy looks like my old neighbor.
Well, he looks like your current neighbor too. He's hung over when he pitched that perfect game.
Yeah, it's just a different type of athlete, baseball. I mean, and I say that jokingly because I will say one thing that struck me when I was with the Blues and the Cardinals one time, like Adam Wainwright and a lot of the Cardinals came into the Blues locker room and, you know, saying hi to the players. The Cardinals, for the most part, dwarfed the Blues. Baseball players are huge athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously Colton Parayko's huge.
Yes.
But like Jaden Schwartz is not that big. Braden Shen is kind of normal, but you have like an Adam Wainwright or a Chris Carpenter and those guys. And maybe it was just pitchers. Those are big guys.
No, a lot of them are because of the leverage they can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's sometimes it's difficult the bigger you are with all your arms and legs with all of that to get it to work together, you know, mechanically. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little difficult to do that.
At any rate, we're wearing shorts. Ronj, because he chose to wear shorts, and I, because I have no pants at my apartment. And so we have a game for you guys on Twitter. Mm-hmm. At ChrisAmyKMOX, you get to guess what legs belong to who.
So, yes.
Matt, creepy man took pictures of our legs.
He took a photo of both of our legs.
Honestly, while
both
it was happening,
pairs of legs.
They were unaware that I was doing it.
As it was happening, it felt like harassment, to be honest.
He
zoomed in on my legs and
he
was like,
hold up,
still.
I was relaxing before work. He walked up and he did that. I was thinking, what is happening right now? I feel like I'm being violated.
I feel like this is in one of those videos. Like, is it okay for a producer to take a picture of female coworkers' legs?
He says it's for the show.
I feel harassed.
When really he's got a whole, he's going to print these out and hang them up at home.
The FBI is going to show up and be like, we found 4,000 pictures of legs on his computer.
Fortunately, you're all adults, so there's nothing we could do about this. Bill is watching us on YouTube and says a few years ago, Bill McClellan of the Post-Dispatch campaigned for men to wear shorts to work every summer. And there was this story from, or it was a column, I believe, from 2011 that he wrote. And there's a photo of Jim Woodcock, who was the senior vice president of the Blues. And he's got, there's a photo and he's in his shorts and his loafers at work, which I think is a perfectly fine look. Why can't we do that?
It's
so hot.
I don't
it's
like
so
it.
It's so hot out there. Let us know what you think. 314-436-7900. Can you wear shorts to work? I think it's okay.
On a totally different note.
Mm-hmm.
Next, in just a couple minutes, we'll be chatting with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. He is calling for the St. Louis sheriff to be booted out of office.
Well, and I am Andrew Bailey's opponent on this one.
I'm on the Attorney General side.
I will stand in the way of Andrew Bailey and my sheriff. Hands off my sheriff.
You got to tell him about your SOS campaign.
Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscore is with you. As you all know, we have been talking extensively about St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery, whose office is controversial, to say the least. To be honest, between the golden dice and the golf carts and the skydiving, it would be a rather brilliant and hilarious Saturday Night Live skit if it weren't serious and involved taxpayer money. But yesterday, or I should say, the Missouri Attorney General gave Sheriff Alfred Montgomery until noon on yesterday to resign. The sheriff did not resign, and so it continues. And joining us now, we are honored to welcome in the Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey. Thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some of your time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on and covering this important story.
It is. And we have we've had our fair share of laughs about it because it is so ridiculous. Sheriff Alfred Montgomery's actions are kind of beyond comprehension, but it is serious. It is taxpayer dollars. Now that the sheriff has not stepped down, he just blew past the deadline, what are the next steps?
Well, at 12:01 p.m. yesterday, I filed the lawsuit to remove him from office. It's called the writ of quo warranto. It's the same kind of lawsuit that we filed against Kim Gardner that was ultimately successful in getting her out of that office. We had to act quickly. I realize Sheriff Montgomery's only been on a job for 6 months, but look at what happened when we allowed Kim Gardner to go on for years. She had a 96% non-prosecution rate, and it ran St. Louis into the ground. We can't let that happen again. When public corruption rears, and we have public officials at the local level who are either refusing to do their job or exceeding the scope of their statutory authority and violating the law, then the state has to move in. And this is a authority that's belonged at the state level a long time. The people's representatives in the General Assembly codified the writ of quo warranto in statute. Our lawsuit raises six claims to include nepotism, that the sheriff has hired his brother by his own admission, and by witness statements that we have. That's an automatic disqualification from holding office under the Missouri Constitution. I want to point out there are also two instances where the sheriff has arrested people. One was a public official, the jail administrator, in the discharge of her official duties, thereby reducing public and interfering with the administration of justice. And the other was when the sheriff disarmed and arrested a security guard who was licensed by the city to be doing secondary work. Again, this is diminishing public safety, and the statutes on the books say the sheriff is not allowed to enforce the criminal laws of the state of Missouri. So he's not only ignoring the things he's supposed to be doing, he's actually violating the law and violating people's rights in the process. This is bold action to make appropriate.
So who did somebody ask you to do this? Are you doing this on somebody's behalf, or do you just take it upon yourself to file this lawsuit?
Well, it's on behalf of the people of the state of Missouri, but I would point out that it's really targeted at helping the people of the city of St. Louis. They deserve better. Here we are trying to recover from years inattention to the proper role of government at the mayor's office and in the circuit attorney's office, and things to be going in a good direction. And then we get hammered with a tornado, and St. Louis is trying to recover from the tornado. The last thing we need is this kind of abuse of authority and waste of taxpayer money at the sheriff's office. We had numerous citizens report to my office some of the malfeasance and negligence that was going on, and then we were able to follow up those leads with our own internal investigation. And I'll tell you, I've got a tip line open. It's an email address, scorruption@ago.mo.gov. And I encourage your audience and anyone else in the St. Louis region, if you know of corruption at the sheriff's office or misfeasance, malfeasance, or negligence, please report it to my office. And even 24 hours, we've had tips come in that warrant additional investigation. And we will likely file an amended petition with additional claims.
Attorney General Bailey, I know that some of the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis have been just incredulous at the actions of the sheriff. Have you been able to talk to any of the older people in the city or Mayor Kara Spencer?
You know, my office has been in touch with Mayor Spencer's office. I have not talked to any of the aldermen. And look, it's going to put them in a bind either, right? I mean, it is a drastic action for the state of Missouri to move in. And obviously, the political party for which I affiliate is different than the political party for which most of the city officials affiliate. And so it is probably a strange thing for them to come out and applaud the Republican from Jefferson City taking this action. That would be a politically untenable position for them to take. Okay, we're going to do our jobs the right way. And again, this is about taxpayers of the city of St. Louis deserving better than what they're getting at the St. Louis City Sheriff's Office presently.
Wait, I don't know. Maybe I'm confused. And your phone is cutting out a little bit here, too. Are you saying that you're getting support privately from Democrats in the city, but they won't say anything publicly because they're Democrats? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I have not gotten support, but okay. I have not asked for it either. And I'm going to do my job regardless of what the aldermen think. I mean, at the end of the day, I have a job to do. They have a job to do. And I'm going to the role given to me by the General Assembly, by the people's elected representatives in the General Assembly as codified in statute. And that's the basis for this lawsuit.
If the, you know, like I said, we talked about all the insane, like ridiculous antics like the golden dice or the golf carts. But as you mentioned, he was enforcing criminal code, which he legally does not have the authority to do. And if you've got more examples of a cut and dry violation of the law or, bloating of his authority. Does this seem like a pretty strong lawsuit against the sheriff?
Absolutely. Look, I'm not going to file the lawsuit unless I have the evidence to back it up. And we felt confident in the case that we have to put forward. And that we're willing to take that bold action. Yeah, this thing's going to get worse for the sheriff. Absolutely. I think that's already proved to be true with the tips that are pouring into my office over the last 24 hours. I'll also tell you that in civil suits like this, we have broad discovery tools. And if I uncover criminal behavior, this could absolutely get a lot worse for the sheriff before it gets better. When you start looking at him handcuffing the jail administrator and moving her out of her office to another location, that starts looking like a kidnapping by felonious restraint. So, the sheriff still has an opportunity to do the right thing, step aside, and let St. Louis begin to heal. But until he does that, I'm going to push this lawsuit forward.
Speaking of that, what is the timeline on something like this? How quick or how slow is the turnaround?
Well, within the last 24 hours, we've had a judge assigned by the Missouri Supreme Court to hear the case. And so we've got motions that we will file to include a petition for immediate removal of the sheriff. The judge could order that now. And then the case will proceed through discovery. There'll be a period of motions, and then we'll set a trial date after that. So, with Tim Gardner, we filed in February, March of 2023, and by the middle of May, she had hit the eject button because the rubber was hitting the road that relates to discovery, and the judge had denied her motion to dismiss, and she knew that case was moving forward. She didn't want to stay in office anymore and have to get worse. And so I think that you would kind of look at the same timeline here. Within the next 90 to 120, we will reach a precipice from which there's no turning back.
And I know there has been some talk lately because of this sheriff. Like, what is the point of a sheriff? Is it necessary to have a sheriff if we have a police force, if we have a chief of police? I know it's not uncommon for cities to have a police chief and a sheriff. And I know this isn't necessarily your purview, but in Jefferson City, for instance, same thing. There's a police chief and a sheriff who transports people.
Yeah, I mean, there's 114 counties in the state of Missouri, plus the city of St. Louis performs its own functions as a county. It's an independent city. And so 115 different elected sheriffs. The difference is the sheriffs in the other 114 counties enforce the general criminal laws of the state of Missouri. They're one of the only elected officials who performs a law enforcement function. The city of St. Louis is different. The sheriff is limited by statute. It's not just that he's exceeding the scope of his statutory authority by making. He is explicitly prohibited in statute for making those arrests. So it's actually a violation of the law. The sheriff of the city of St. Louis is really confined to serving process, securing the courthouse, and transporting inmates. He refuses to transport the inmates. Instead of making arrests and skydiving and buying gold-plated badges and golf carts and every other thing.
Yeah. Well, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, thank you so much for joining us today on this topic. We'll be following this story. We really appreciate your time today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. That is the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, on the lawsuit against Sheriff Alfred Montgomery, who did not of his own volition step down yesterday at the deadline of noon. So there is a lawsuit. And Ron, like we've talked about, so many of the antics are so bizarre that it would be a hilarious SNL skit, except it is taxpayer dollars, right? And we don't want to waste taxpayer money. And it looks like he's wasting tens of thousands thousands of dollars. I mean, I can think of $100,000 just on the SUV, the golf carts, and the badges. But it does seem like him enforcing the criminal code, arresting a city jail official. I mean, that seems like one of the bigger, more legally untenable actions.
Yeah, well, I guess I look. While I will stand in the way of Attorney General Bailey in him trying to take down
our sheriff,
because of Save Our Sheriff, a campaign that I have started, and people are jumping on board.
Are they? Many people?
Yeah, many people are saying that they are on board.
Because
I am just glad I am glad the Attorney General is tackling local issues finally instead of trying to make national headlines. That's good. That's good.
Well,
it's not like suing Starbucks.
Well,
so this is great that he is trying to help Missourians allegedly.
Well, no, I mean I get what you're saying, but I will say, because as much as we've joked about the sheriff, I mean, it really is taxpayer dollars. It really is the city of St. Louis, and so this is an attorney general's job to look at the violation of the law, the abuse of taxpayer dollars. I didn't even know about the nepotism thing.
I do hope, and I get the sense that he may not, but do hope that he applies it evenly to both parties. I get the sense he probably does not, but that's all we can hope for. That's why I'm saying I get the sense. I don't know that for sure, but I do get that feeling, and I think there's reason for me to feel that way, but we will
Here's the thing. I'm going to applaud if it's something that's that's good. Like I said, there are all sorts of politicians out there, and a lot of them, probably maybe all of them, I feel politically homeless, but nobody is 100% bad all the time. You know, like whoever you are, Republican or Democrat, and when a Republican or Democrat does something that is right, I will applaud that.
Like Josh Hawley. I'm not, as a politician,
huge
fan of him as a politician, but he's done right by the people affected by the nuclear waste, by what he said about insurance, hopefully he follows through in that, and I hope he follows through on the Medicaid, Medicare stuff.
I think you're a bigger fan of Hawley than you think. I think you are a 50-50 fan, and what I mean by that is I think that Josh Hawley's political policy issues, you are on board with. What you don't like are his cultural/social stances.
Sure,
but I bet
definitely
you like,
not.
I think you
and
like
I don't
his
like
policy
the,
issues.
I'm not a huge fan of seeming like you're making sure the president sees you. You know what I mean? I think there are a lot of politicians
Well, I feel like you want the sheriff to see you.
I absolutely do, because I am trying to save his job. It's Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
All right, Ranj, everyone brace yourself. It's a running story.
Oh, boy, again?
You know, Matt, I don't need this from you. I thought we were friends.
Oh, God, what's next, a sit-up story? Oh. Are you going to be able to recover from that? Go ahead.
Okay. we all know who Roger Bannister is.
Uh-huh.
About like 100 years ago, he became the first person to break 4 minutes in a mile. A woman has never broken 4 minutes in the mile. The current record holder is Faith Kipyegon. She is from Kenya. She has run a 4:07, 4:07 mile, which is a long way from sub-4. Cutting off 8 seconds off a mile is massive, massive. However, Nike in 2017... they took Eliud Kipchoge, who is a Kenyan marathoner, the king, he's the goat, and they put him on a course in Europe. They gave him a pacing team. They waited for perfect weather. They did the science on the shoes and the nutrition to see if he could become the first human to break 2 hours in the marathon, and he did. It doesn't count because it's not on an official course like Berlin or Chicago, but it does prove that the human body can run a 1:59 marathon. So Nike is doing the exact same thing with Faith Kipyegon today in Paris. So the Kenyan champion, they gave her a kit. They've given her some pacers. One of the pacers was just in St. Louis at the Festival of Miles, Craig Engels. They're going to the stadium in Paris, and at noon, our time, I believe, she is going to try to be the first woman to break the 4-minute mile barrier.
You said pacers. I thought you meant Indiana.
Wouldn't that be insane?
I was like, oh, was Hallie here? I didn't know.
The Pacers are all going to be, yeah. But anyway, so noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock. Everybody will be paying attention. It's interesting that you brought this up because we just had a few moments ago a texter to 314-436-7900 share that very story and say, hey, I don't know if you guys have mentioned this, but here's a story. So there is somebody else out there, Amy,
okay,
who is interested in the same thing as you. It's not just you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank
How about
you.
That?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think we have more people into running than we do in sit-up stories.
Amy, would you ever steal jewelry from a jewelry store?
No. The only crime I would ever commit is art crime, because I think it's sexy
and fancy.
There's
something sexy about it, too.
Yeah.
But I think jewelry store crime could be.
I will say it's the next
sexiest.
But
it's got to be like like a
Tiffany's.
What was the Heart of the Ocean? It's got to be something like that.
Like the Titanic thing?
Yes. Something cool.
Well,
like
first
that.
Of all, I would never steal something that gaudy. I think jewelry crime is not as sexy. It's a little bit more. It's less original.
So, 39-year-old store manager of a jewelry store, Daniela Draper, in Beverly. I'm not exactly sure where Beverly is, but she was caught stealing over $100,000 worth of diamond, silver, gold, and bespoke jewelry. You know how they caught her?
Because she looked real fancy?
No.
Oh.
She posted photos of herself with the jewelry
on
social media, and they found her. And
Maybe.
She's got one of those hot mug shots. She's kind of good looking. Look at her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's attractive.
She looks like somebody.
Yeah.
She looks like several people. I won't name them because I don't want to dox people.
Oh, you do not. Don't dox anybody, because maybe it's her.
Maybe she'll fall in love with Alfred Montgomery, who also posted photos of himself doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Maybe she stole them on behalf of our sheriff to help him out with legal fees or whatever.
The golf carts. Yeah.
Somebody did also text in regarding the golf carts.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know if the sheriff has paid for all the golf carts. Can they shuttle us to Busch Stadium today?
You know, that's a great idea. Why don't you reach out to your buddy Alfred and ask him if he can give us a ride?
I'll text him right now.
Okay. All right. Americans.
Hold on. If I text 911, does it go to the sheriff? Will he see it?
100% not.
Okay.
Half the time it doesn't even go to 911. Americans, they don't like paying for a lot of things, but they really don't like paying for news. A recent Pew survey shows how U.S. readers react when they come across the dreaded paywalled article.
The paywall.
Now, of course, I spend half of my salary on news outlets, so I very rarely hit paywalls. But 53% of people look for the same information somewhere else when they hit a paywall. They just click on something else.
This is a fascinating story to me, and I don't know what to do about it because I get it. I feel the same way when I see a paywall, but also journalism isn't free, man.
Yeah.
Like, we should have to pay for it.
We'll continue this conversation because 32% of people give up, 11% try to find the article without paying, 2% do something else, not sure what that means, and 1% actually pay for it.
And I get it, but good journalism has to cost us something, but also at the same time, too many subscriptions in our lives.
I don't want to pay for CNN. CNN is asking for me to pay.
I agree with you on that.